as we move into the study of salvation. And we talked about how salvation is a large blanket term that we throw over a ton of doctrinal truth. And what we're doing is we're peeling back that blanket, if you will, and just looking at some of the benefits and all that it includes. And tonight we're going to be looking at how salvation is more than just escaping hell. Salvation is more than just being freed from the penalty of sin, but also the blessings that are imparted to us through sanctification and through the area, specifically, regeneration. So let's move right into this with just a brief word of prayer, and I promise you we'll probably be letting you out a little bit earlier tonight. And it's a beautiful... All right. That's gone now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would teach us that in a subject and in a topic that we can easily tune out, may we be bondservants of Yours. We love to hear and be and know You better. We love Your stories. We love what You teach. We long for them. Father, may we as a church be bondservants and not just indentured slaves. And we pray that the difference would be salvation and the desire of our hearts. May we, like David, pursue You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last time we were together, we looked at God's role in salvation, and then also man's responsibility as far as of responding to it. Tonight we're going to be looking at the goal of salvation. Not just the goal of salvation as it relates to heaven, but the goal of salvation as it relates to right now in our lives, in your life and my life, which, by the way, is far more than just saving us from our sins and giving us eternal life. And while that is by far one of the greatest benefits of salvation, we would do the work of Jesus in injustice if that's all that we thought it included. I am free from hell. Woohoo! It's over with. No, there's much more to salvation than just that. In fact, we're going to look at briefly tonight the divine goal of salvation as it relates to your life right now. So let's take a look at the divine goal of salvation. Today, God is creating a new human race. Now, I know as soon as you hear that, you're going to think, what in the world is He talking about? Allow me a moment here. A new human race in Christ with the elect members of the old human race. You see, as soon as Adam and Eve, and especially Adam, as our representative, the federal headship of Adam, and he ate that apple, and a depraved state came on man, and the old nature, and we were no longer in this intimate relationship. We have this old nature, this depraved nature. But now Christ is spending His time through the work of regeneration and salvation, bringing mankind back to Him. And we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ... Now, we talked about that this morning, what it means to be in Christ. That imputed righteousness, not because you've done something, but because you are in someone. In Christ Jesus, He is a... What's the word up there, class? He is a what? A new creation. The old... What old? The old nature. The old state. The old spiritual condition is gone and the new one has come. In fact, there's an old saying that if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and your desires and your life does not change, then nothing has changed. To say, I believe in the Lord and live the same old way is a clear indication that the old is not gone. That doesn't mean we don't struggle. It doesn't mean we don't fall. It doesn't mean we don't backslide but it is not a descriptive element of our habitual lifestyle. The old that we come out of is the old nature. The new is a new life in Jesus Christ. God is creating for Himself, here it is again, a new group of people on earth right now through the regeneration of His Holy Spirit, a new group of people that bears in their human nature Jesus' likeness. We are testimony of Jesus Christ. We are a reflection of Jesus Christ. And where Adam and Eve once were, He is slowly bringing us back to that state through that progressive sanctification. Colossians 3, Romans 8, John 3, 2 Corinthians 3. At salvation, a person receives a new inner soul and spirit. And this renewal will be completed when our bodies are changed and we see the Lord return. In essence, Adam and Eve fell out of this state. Excuse me. And now God is bringing His elect, His chosen people, back to it through His saving grace. And this is the goal of salvation. But within the umbrella of God's divine goal, there are several components and blessings of salvation that reach far beyond simply escaping the flames of hell. And tonight we're going to look at just one of them, because it is a very large umbrella, one of them, and it is called the regeneration, being in Jesus Christ. So they're going to take a look at it. Now, it's important to remember that salvation is that huge blanket, and there's a lot of things that occur doctrinally underneath that. So let's take a look at this first one, and it is called, like I said earlier, regeneration. Regeneration, as we advance that slide, regeneration is the act of God whereby He cleanses the believer and renews the immaterial part of your human nature, your soul, your spirit, and imparts on you, imparts on me, spiritual life upon salvation and faith in Christ alone. Now, it's important, and this is very important, especially in a day and age that wants to redefine what Christianity is and what truth is, and truth is relative, and we are in this postmodern era, if you will, although I will argue and contend you can never truly be in a relative postmodern world where there is no truth. Just ask an engineer who's building a bridge if there is ultimate truth. I love what Rabbi Zacharias, if you go to the University of Ohio, Ohio State University, they have a room dedicated to postmodern relative truth, meaning nothing is absolutely true. Yet that building could not be built and it could not hold itself if they didn't follow absolute truths on weight distribution. It is a contrast in terms. But as we move forward here, it's important to remember in this relative what is truth world, that regeneration is produced by the Holy Spirit, not by our works, not by our deeds, not by our desires. It is produced by the Holy Spirit, here it is, through the agency of His Word, through the truth found in His Word alone. 1 Peter, Romans chapter 10 talks about this. Now I bring this point up in an evangelistic way because it's important for us to present the gospel as it is given in Scripture. That's why I bring this up. It is important to present the gospel as it is given in Scripture and depend upon the Holy Spirit to work according to His divine purpose. See, there is a temptation in our lives, and it goes all the way back to the very beginning, and from Cain and Abel, from Pilate and Jesus, all the way to the apostles to today. There is a temptation to leave things out so that we can make the gospel more appealing. If we could just edit it, if we could make it more appetizing, because the gospel by nature, and we sang about it in one of your songs, or at least, no, the verse that we read, the gospel is by nature what to the world? Give me some words. It's foolishness. It's foreign. It's offensive. People ought to be, in their old nature, almost recoil at its message because it's saying we're deficient. That we can't do it on our own. That we need someone else. And it's only one someone else. And it's Jesus Christ and His blood. Oh, and by the way, you're not going to eternity in heaven without it. It is by nature selfish. And offensive. So we want to just tweak it. We want to edit things. We want to make it more appealing. We want to make it more prosperity. We want to make it that you're free in Christ and no longer a slave to sin. Well, I want to tell you what. You are either a indentured slave to sin, or you're a bondservant to Christ. Amen, church? We're always under something. You're a child of the devil, you're a child of God. You're always a child. You're always under something. It's important to remember that. We must remember that it is the Holy Spirit and His Word alone that imparts salvation. And we cannot edit the truth of God's Word. Salvation must include all of God's Word and what it requires: confession, repentance, and belief. So why is regeneration so important? Why can't people just say, I'm sorry, I would like to go to heaven? Why must there be an impartation of spiritual life through the Holy Spirit found within all of the truth of God's Word? And here it is, here it is. The need for regeneration is this. Because we are by nature spiritually dead. We are by nature spiritually dead, which means completely alienated from God. Have absolutely no relationship with Him outside of the saving, regenerating work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Number two, we are members of Satan's kingdom, and we bear his corrupt moral character. We need to be regenerated. We need a new creation. We need a new life. In the spiritual state, a sinner cannot impart to themselves life. A dead man cannot say, I live. Just cannot. He cannot impart spiritual life or admit himself into God's kingdom. Regeneration must be imparted. And with the regeneration comes blessings right now. Now remember, some of our subject is not only do we escape the penalty of sin in death and hell and all of that ball of wax that is phenomenal, but there are also blessings right now. I want to talk about six of them. Six of them. The first one is this. Number one, we receive new life. We receive new life. Regeneration renews our immaterial human nature. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. In contrast to being spiritually dead, we are completely alienated from God. It is at this point that we are responsive to God. And that's important. We are born again. We are responsive to the things of God. We started this study on salvation by stating that it's far more than simply escaping hell's judgment. The blessings of salvation start on day one. And that first one is that we are able to respond to the personhood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and God, and become more precious as we draw nearer to Him. Some of the blessings and evidences of regeneration, that regeneration has taken place, is found in some of the followings. And I want you to take a look at this list that we're going to put up here in just a moment and see if you can see yourself in this list. Because these are evidences that free gift has been received. Okay? So see if you see any of it in your life. Number one, you'll have a new rule of conduct in your life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. No longer will you live for yourself and your own appetites and your own goals and your own desires. You will have a new rule of conduct. It is not I that live, that Christ that lives in me. Number two, you'll have new associations not only with God, but with men. 1 John chapter 1, 3, 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Again, these are practical evidences that regeneration has taken place in your life, and it just simply wasn't some random void prayer that someone forced on you, but it was a willing submission to become a bondservant for life because of salvation that you received in Christ. All of a sudden, you're going to have a new association and relationship with God and also with those around you. You'll have a new purpose in life. Your goals will change when your regeneration, in the regeneration is no longer about you, but about how much glory you can bring to your Heavenly Father. Again, there's that bondservant term. Okay, you'll have a new purpose in life, new associations with God and men, a new rule of conduct. Another one, a new desire in your activities. Those sinful habits and things that you wanted, I'm not going to say they just fall to the ground and never again do they affect you, but they ought to fade. Because your love for God is greater than your love for yourself. A new desire and new activity. Philippians 2 talks about that. You'll have a new character. You'll have new interests. You'll have a new direction. And then finally, you'll have new expectations. Titus chapter 2. You see, my friends, eternal life is far more than just living forever. Eternal life and salvation is much more than that. It's having a new kind of life starting right now. It's a new life starting right now with all of these things in front of us. It's having a new kind of life from the moment of regeneration, which is only made more real as we walk and obey the Lord in our lives. We always say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the primary way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is obedience. It's obedience. We're always indwelled with the Holy Spirit upon salvation. He never leaves nor forsakes, and we are sealed until the day of redemption. But to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit isn't just something we say, I'm sorry, indwelled. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, something completely different, is more than just saying, Lord, fill me. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. That's a hymn, isn't it? Nailed it. All right. Did I nail it? Okay, thank you. All right. Stop. It's more than just saying, Lord, fill me. Filling is found primarily through obedience. If you want God to just be active and vibrant in your life, you've got to submit to Him. Another blessing for regeneration, I'm going to bring up a second one, is having fellowship with God. You have fellowship with God. How do we have fellowship with God? Number one, we can talk with Him through prayer. We listen to Him how? Through His Word. Through His Word. God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to not only the truth and doctrinal truth in His Word, but His general principles of wisdom in His Word. He will never ask you to do something that contradicts His Word. If you want to know if God is speaking to you, go to Scripture. We trust Him through our obedience. But here's the catcher. The only way we can have fellowship with God, I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about fellowship. I can be married to Amy and not have fellowship with her. Fellowship with God. Here's the catcher. Is where you walk where He is walking. You're following where He is going. And that walk is clearly lit by the light of His Word, a lamp unto my feet. Psalms 119 and 1 John chapter 1. If we want to have fellowship with the Lord, we have to follow Him. One of the primary things we try to do in leadership of this church is not to tell the Lord where we want to go and ask Him to assist us. We watch where He is already heading and quickly follow in His train. That is, I believe, the difference between having an intimate relationship. We must walk where He is walking and have fellowship with Him. I remember a time many, many years ago where I had a good friend who was starting to get involved in activities that I could not get involved with. I'm sure this is true in my life from time to time as well when I was younger, yesterday and this afternoon. And it was killing me. He was beginning to get involved in things I couldn't go or do with him. And finally I said to him, his name was Shaman. I said, Shaman, I love you. I will always be your friend. I'll always have a relationship with you. But we're not talking about relationship, we're talking about fellowship. Notice the distinction. I always have a relationship with you, but I cannot walk where you are walking. I cannot go where you are going. And when the day comes when you are no longer involved in these things, I'll be right here. I'm not leaving you as a friend. I'm simply saying I cannot have fellowship with you while you're doing these things. These activities break fellowship. We find that principle found within the upper room where Jesus said, I want to wash your feet, Peter. And he said, oh, my whole body. And he said, no, you don't. Your whole body doesn't need to be washed. You're already saved. Your feet need to be washed from daily sins so that we have fellowship. Not relationship, because a relationship cannot be severed, but fellowship with one another. We find this here. Fellowship with God is walking where He is walking, doing what He has asked us to do. Christ never leaves us nor forsakes us. Yet our close fellowship with Him is dependent on walking in His truth, not our appetites, not our desires. For someone to purposely and habitually engage in something contrary to the Word of God and still say, I have fellowship with God, is not only lying to you, he is lying to himself, he or she, and is not being genuine, but deceiving themselves. You got to walk where he is walking. Another benefit that we have in regeneration is we are subject to Christ's discipline. Oh, great. That's fantastic. But we found in Hebrews chapter 12, as we walk through the book of Hebrews, how many of God's children will be disciplined? How many class? All of them. All of them, because you discipline those whom you love. That's what discipline is. I love you so much to not watch you go into something that is destructive and damaging in your life. I love you, you will stop. And if you don't stop, I'll put something in your way to cause you to stop because you're more important to me than how you feel about me. Discipline. To be subjects of His loving discipline. He does this so that we might, in fact, Hebrews chapter 12 says this, might be more spiritually productive, and here it is, share in His holiness. To share in His holiness, because He loves us. Just like our earthly parents, or at least how they should, they discipline us to become mature adults. I was reading in a book not too long ago that Christ disciplines us so that we become mature adults. Because at the end of the day, now I want to bring it back into the human relationship of the family, we are trying to raise adults in our homes, not full-grown children. Amen? Please. We don't give you things because we love you. We don't let you do certain things because we want you to see another day. I was reading from Gary Henson was his name. I know one of your favorite authors, I'm sure. And he said, a child of two will not live to the age of 3 if his parents are not involved. Because what will that child of 2 do before the age of 3 if mom and dad are not there to lovingly say, no, and this is going to hurt? What would happen to that child of 2 before he got to age 3? Talk to me. He's going to kill himself. How? Talk to me. Get hit by a car. I can go there. I can do that. I don't see any danger. In my infinite wisdom of 2, I don't see any problem here. How many times do we do that spiritually? Okay, what are some other things that stop that child from getting to age 3? Talk to me. Fire. Yeah, boy, this looks fun. What's that?
Stove.
The stove. Preferably like a wood stove is what you're going towards. Yes, okay. What are some other things?
Older siblings.
Older siblings, yes. Older siblings. Who said that? Ethan. All right. Actually, not really on the list, but we'll go with it. How about what they eat? They'll either poison themselves or they will slowly kill themselves with lack of nutrition. I'll have 6 more cubes of sugar, please. And I'm going to eat at Taco Bell for the rest of the year. What will that adolescent look like? Talk to me, church.
Hispanic.
Bob is not in charge of our human relations here at Nautiza. Overweight, sluggish, inept, unproductive. Could that describe people within the church of Jesus? He disciplines us because he wants us to become mature, effective adults in Jesus Christ. Here's another one. We are objects of his loving care. 5, we are his heirs. Now, I'm not just talking about heaven. Okay, oh, some joint heirs with Jesus as we travel. Another hymn, all right? Nailed it. More than just heirs of heaven someday, we are heirs of things right now, if we'll take them. Many times we think this just means someday we'll receive heaven. But our inheritance has already started. Remember, from day 1 of regeneration, we inherit his peace. His wisdom that he gives generously without reproach. You ever have your parents say, go to your parents and say, hey, I'd like some advice about A and B, and they give you advice, you don't take it, and things just go plat right in your face, and you go back to your parents, and the parents said, I told you what, class? I told you so. Do you know you serve a heavenly Father that loves you so much that even when you fail and you go back to him for wisdom, he gives it without insult because he loves you. He gives you peace. He gives you wisdom. Well, here's one in Jesus Christ. He gives you imputed righteousness right now as you sit in your seat and you're a sinner. God the Father sees the imputed purity, righteousness of his Son. Wow. That's an inheritance. Sanctification, redemption. How about this one? How many are thankful for grace? Grace, right now, not someday, right now. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Hymn 3 tonight. Amazing grace. 4. Can anyone give me another?
Grace greater than our sin.
Yeah, I don't think that's technically a hymn, but good try, Steve. All right, no, it is. Grace, we got it right now. Help, satisfaction, spiritual warfare, spiritual favor. Our inheritance starts at day 1. And that's just right now. Someday soon in heaven, heaven will be added and all of its benefits that it will consist of untold blessings that God is preparing for us right now. You know, there's that old analogy that he created the universe in 6 days. Imagine heaven over 2 millennia. Wow. You see, salvation is a doctrine that cannot be exhausted. It is rich, it is deep, and it is far more than just fire insurance. And the moment we realize what we have, peace, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, grace, help, satisfaction, spiritual favor, relationship, discipline, and the list goes on and on and on. When we realize what we have, here it is, the more it will change our lives and our desires, and all of a sudden, even though freedom is available to us, we will say, I choose bondservant. I'm here because I want to be here, because I see value in what it is. And He has given this to me. That's how great salvation is. And it starts at day one. We would do the work of Jesus a great injustice if all we thought it was escape from hell. And maybe that's because we've edited salvation to just be a little more appealing in our own infinite wisdom. When we see salvation for what it is, this thing we're doing tonight is not an obligation, it's an act of adoration. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your salvation, so rich and so free. May we see it for what it is, a gift that keeps on giving from the very moment we receive it. Thank You for my church family. Lord, bless them tonight. I pray and ask this in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Now go enjoy your salvation.